I'm Georgie Crawford. You're listening to the Good Glow podcast. Throughout my treatment for breast cancer, I've realised the importance of self-care. Whether it's a trip to the gym, a checkup with your GP, or even a 5-minute meditation, the time has come for us to put ourselves higher on our own to-do list. I'm so proud to be teaming up with Fitbit again in 2020. I want to continue on my path of self-discovery and set myself new challenges this year. Often it's only when we're tested that we're awakened to our true potential. I recently completed a 12K run in the Swiss Alps, something I never thought I could do. But with Fitbit by my side, I'm able to stay focused on my health fitness journey, continue to be motivated to go after my goals and to track my progress too. And with that, I'm surprising myself every single day. This week on the Good Glow podcast, I speak to Sabrina Hill. Sabrina, also well known as Superstyle Sabby on Instagram, is the proud owner of 3 businesses and is pushing her message of positivity. She made big changes in her life a couple of years ago, but afterwards became so ill she had no option but to stop working and focus on herself. She made huge changes and is now on a different path. She's a big supporter of women and speaks to me about the loves of her life and what motivates her. Sabrina wears her heart on her sleeve, and I really enjoyed our chat this week in beautiful Cork. I hope you enjoy. Sabrina Hill, welcome to the Good Glow podcast.
Hello, I'm so excited about this. I'm so excited to meet you today.
I know, it's amazing. My friend Audrey, the artist, put me on to you, and she said, I was like, I'm really looking for someone in Cork to do a podcast with. And she said, what about Sabrina Hill? So I started following you. I love your message. I love your vibe. And here we are sitting here today in Cork.
I know, and it's actually lovely. Speaking of Audrey, she's such a positive, bubbly person. And I always find that people that we've met online through Instagram or different kind of like social media platforms, it's like attracts like. Mm-hmm. So it's really, really cool to meet you, because I've been following you for ages, following your journey. So to me, it's like, this is a big thing actually, meeting you today.
Oh, same for me. Tell us about, like, you're so busy. You've got an 18-year-old now.
I do.
You've got 3 businesses.
I do.
Wow.
It's everything is like, I do.
So tell us a little bit about your life, I suppose, around the time when you got pregnant, and what time was that time was like for you?
So I suppose I left school, secondary school, and I really didn't have a clue about what I wanted to do. I fell into hairdressing completely by accident. I had done some work experience and I said, look, this will do for now while I try and figure it out. And I kind of fell in love with it. I fell in love with making people beautiful, like with changing their hair. And I suppose, in a way, I feel like I am a kind person and I am a helpful person. I could see people kind of responding so beautifully when I was able to do that for them. So it felt like it was almost a gift. So I stuck with that. I stuck it out. I was working for a couple of months when I fell pregnant. It was an absolutely massive shock to me, like a real shock. It was one of those kind of moments I can actually look back, and it was like getting a punch in the stomach. I can still almost kind of like feel going, oh my God, my life is ruined, when in fact it wasn't. Aaron was like the best thing that ever happened to me. But I was a child, and I suppose that I was extremely lucky that I had massive support from family, from my mum and dad and other family members. And they really, really supported me even after I had Aaron, that I was allowed, they enabled me to go on and to work very hard and to build up my kind of myself and get back into work. After Aaron was about, I think, maybe about 3-4 months old, and I became severely unwell. I had postnatal depression.
Did you know what that was at the time?
No. I didn't know really what was happening. I really, really didn't know what was happening. And I suppose everyone was just trying to cope with the fact that there was a very unwell young girl at home who was after having a baby and needed support, but I didn't know how to talk about it. I didn't know how to communicate that. And if I'm honest, I felt like I was a burden on people. And that's something down through the years that I've really had to work on, and that I always try, I suppose I speak a lot about positivity on my platform, and I always try and tell people, please don't feel like a burden. I think it's one of the things that stops us communicating, because we all know how to talk. And even recently, I've been in a situation where I felt very lonely. badly about something and I've been lying in bed and I'm like, do you know what, I'm trying to cope with that. But always try and find your person, that there is a person there, that if you can find them, that you won't feel like a burden to them. And I'm very lucky, I have a few people in my life like that now, but it took me a long time to kind of build up on that. Mm. And I suppose when I was 19, 20, having a baby, I didn't have those kind of skills. And I don't ever remember anyone teaching me about that. And I suppose from a point of view where I'm really trying to push, be accountable now, I think that should be part of that. It should be part of you growing up, learning to be accountable for yourself, learning how to not feel like a burden and learning how to communicate in that way. There was no one else around that was pregnant at that age. And there was, I suppose, when I look at different things that drive me, there was something that happened when I was 20, when I was 19, when I was pregnant. I was heavily pregnant. I met three girls from school. And I suppose, look, they didn't mean what they, the way they said it or what they said, but one of them was like, oh, you're pregnant. And they kind of made remarks like, are you still with the father? And they were probably just very innocent questions, but to me, I took them to heart. Yeah. And it made me a little bit maybe embarrassed about my situation. But more importantly, what it did was it was a driver. And it really drove me to prove to everyone that I was going to be a success, that I wasn't going to be that girl that fell pregnant straight after secondary school. And I can pinpoint different things. I never know what my driver is. Like right now, I have a driver. I don't know what it is. I kind of figure out what they are afterwards. And I think everyone has them and they change from time to time. What are you like? Do you have drivers?
Yeah, like that is just such a good point. And I've never really thought about it like that. I suppose, yeah, like when I look through kind of that really bad time when I had so much anxiety about cancer and straight after my treatment, my driver was like my family. I didn't want my baby to be affected by my sadness, you know, mm-hmm. And my worry about something, you know, my biggest worry was that my cancer would come back and it literally consumed me. But looking back now, I suppose I didn't want it to ruin our family. And I had a choice. My cancer hadn't come back. You know,
yes.
My cancer may never come back. So I didn't want it to ruin my life worrying.
But you were being accountable there mm. for kind of like your thought process about that. And I find a lot of people can't do that. Like the 19, 20 year old me couldn't do that at the time and try and figure that out. And there's definitely something kind of a maturity that when we get older, that we're able to be that little bit more kind of aware of our thought process. Sometimes I even have to check myself in. Like I said, I was feeling lonely the other night and I was kind of like, cop on. I had to have that chat. I have this friend, she passed away sadly from cancer, Josie, and I always imagine that she's sitting inside in the car beside me.
Wow.
And she's having a chat with me, but I nearly have it out loud. So like I imagine what Josie would say to me, what like when I'm going through those kind of like, I suppose, negative thoughts. What would Josie say? And Josie would like, here, girl, cop on. And it would be literally this full on conversation. And I have that conversation out loud because my voice will always be louder than my thoughts.
Wow.
And I think turn down the radio and do that for 10 minutes and you'll come out of the car a different woman.
I was at an event in Kildare Village yesterday. I was hosting a show there.
It looked amazing.
Danae Dehora was there and she's an intuitive specialist.
I follow her.
And there was a question from the audience about this lady had lost someone in her life and she's like, will I ever be happy again? And it was so brave question. But Sinead said, you know, she lost someone special in her life. She lost her cousin. But she actually speaks to her cousin more now than she did when she was alive. Exactly like you say with Josie. So Sinead talks to her cousin. She's like, she's just always by my side. And that's, I'm not crazy. I talk to her all the time. And it's great. And it's a way of healing. So that's really interesting that you brought that up today, just after we've had that conversation.
Absolutely. Because I can imagine her voice. I can imagine her saying these things and like she would say them. That's exactly what would come out of her mouth. And I suppose they're just little pick-me-ups when you need them.
Mm.
But as I said, you have to try and find your person as well. You have to find people that you don't feel a burden talking to about things. So
yeah,
that's really important.
Sorry to interrupt you there.
No,
in my podcast with Keith Walsh, he was saying that Caroline Flack had been called a drain by someone, which is just so tragic, isn't it?
That's a horrendous thing to say about anyone. Like, and it doesn't matter the circumstances of the other person, like say Caroline herself. It's actually kind of even being that person to say that about another person. Like I suppose over the years, having built up a lot of kind of like kind of followers on social media, you do get to the point of where you will get trolled. When people are far away and they're typing something on their phone, they feel that they have an entitlement to let you know or tell you anything. And I think people, like the person even wrote that or said that about Caroline Flack being a drain. Like, what is the mentality of that person? Like, what is the mentality? I just think when I hear people say something that negative or making a comment, I'm like, how? How do you think it's actually okay to write that? And like, would you, if you were across the road in your car, would you get out of your car, walk across the road, walk into my salon, walk all the way up to me, to my face, and say what you were typing? Say to my face right there in front of me and in front of everyone else to hear it as well. And the fact is that you wouldn't. And people really forget that there is a reaction for every action. They completely forget about that, no matter what it is. And it could be literally that the reaction with me is that I'm like a rhinoceros. You could, like, my skin is so thick it won't bother me. Or it could be like someone like Caroline Flack and could take their life. And that's the reality of it. And I find that people just aren't accountable for their actions. And when Caroline Flack's death actually affected me so, so much, and I am very, very lucky that I just have not had the amount of trolling or kind of negative kind of vibes and messages that she's had. Definitely not on that level, but I've certainly been affected by it. And what I've really been affected is that some of my close friends who are massive on social media have been left suicidal by the effects of online bullying and especially anonymous accounts and all of these things. And it made me sit back and really look for a solution. I'm a big person who's a believer of no problems, only solutions. In this day and age, you can only tell people be kind so much. You can only tell people be accountable so much. Because if everyone was kind, there would be no crime. There be no assaults. But obviously they can't. And I do feel that as good as some people are going into schools, and I really believe it does help some people, what are you teaching? There's no rules, laws or regulations, because sometimes you just have to be able to say, no, you can't do this. And this is why. And at the end of the day, we have to kind of look, I suppose, at the bigger picture of how we're going to solve this. And the only way I really feel that we're going to be able to solve this is to penalise people in a way that will actually hurt them. Like, go to, let's say, kind of online newspapers or online forums and areas like that. And that if they allow this kind of behaviour to go on, well, then they have to be financially penalised. Because that is, by example, the only way that we're going to actually solve this. At the moment, nothing can be done because there's no government formed. But I'm like a dog with a bone. As soon as I'm going to fight and continue fighting with my Be Accountable campaign, that I'm like, we actually have to make a change, because it's not about us anymore. I think our generation is lost. It really, really is. And I think at the end of the day, it's about your child. And even I think even my son at 18 years of age, it's even gone beyond him as well. I think we need to set an example for younger people and have laws and regulations there.
And you say that you know, find your person that you can open up to.
I actually have two people. I'm very, very lucky. I have like Lisa Roberts, who actually owns Verso, and Sandra Murphy, two really, really good friends of mine that I've known for like over a decade, for like way longer than that, actually. And they were just two people that, like, going back, we were talking earlier about the really large transitional year that I've had. I would be a very strong mental person. And I would have always been the friend that people came to. I remember we were sitting on a bus a couple of years ago and we were after consuming some alcohol. And a couple of friends turned around and one of the girls said, I want to tell each and every one of you why I love you and what you do for me in my life. And they were, she was going around saying, well, you're the funny one, you're the joker. And then she turned around to me and she said, you're the problem solver. And it always stuck with me that I was the problem solver. Whether I think it's because I did so much cognitive behavioural therapy in my 20s that it made me a really good leader. in my business, my three businesses, and it helped me an awful lot with friends who were going through things. And I was really proud of that when she said that. But then towards the end of 2018, my marriage broke down. I had a family member who got really, really ill, a parent, and it really shocked me. I'd never, ever had to look at a parent's mortality. And I think it made me realise that I was really an adult. After all of those years of my parents helping me, I was the one now that was helping look after them. I was working way too much. Like, I had clients in Dubai. I was working in the States. I was working in London. I was over and back all the time. And I was running my new salon and two other companies, Business of Hair and New Hair Revolution. And I just didn't stop. I remember one month, it was in October. It was like in, where was I? I was in Dubai. I was in London. I was like, I don't know where, Holland. I was everywhere. I was working so much. And I used to always laugh the likes of Rihanna. When they were like, oh, I have to cancel a few concerts because of exhaustion. That's exactly what happened to me. I got exhausted. I fell down with pneumonia, got very, very ill. And I was put on medication that I had a toxic reaction to. And actually, that's my first time actually ever admitting this anywhere public. I was very, very ill during the year. Nobody knows it, bar my two people and those very closest to me. I was very, very ill, very sick. And it took me a long time to recover. I'm actually only back at work full time since November. And even then, kind of coming into Christmas, I've struggled a little bit. And I'm trying to find my vibe at the moment of where I'm trying to find a balance. Even the last few weeks have been difficult, but I'm coping unreal. But those two girls, I mustn't have answered a few texts because they ended up at my door one night. My mum and dad were looking after me. My mum actually moved in to help me. And they arrived at my door and I just knew then that they were my people. And when you can ring a person up the third time in one week and talk about the same problem.
Yeah. The same. They're like, oh, Jesus.
You have your
again.
Person. Because even I was like, ah, Sabby, shut up. Like, yeah. But she was just like, yeah, I know. Yes. Yes. And so like that. That is your person.
Derry Hussey speaks about this. He says, if we don't make time for our health, someday we will be forced to make time for our illness. And that really spoke to me when I got sick, because I had no option but to stop. And from what you're saying, it sounds like you had no option but to stop.
Forced to stop. And even I can go back, right, and look. Jeepers, look back over a period of 3-4 years where I had continuous vertigo. I had continuous chest infections, throat infections. There was always something wrong with me. I was tired. It was stress. I do believe, like, obviously there are certain different elements of illnesses such as cancer that, like, that you're going to get no matter what. But I do believe that, like, it was stress. Since I was forced to stop, just like you, I was forced to stop. Over the period of the couple of months, yeah, I got a toxic reaction to medication. I had to look at like other alternatives to healing myself. And I'm like, I am that batshit crazy girl that was walking down the woods hugging a tree. Yeah. I literally did that.
Where's your sister?
I did that. I totally did it. And I was like, I feel like a fool, but I kept doing it. And I walked a lot and I had an awful lot of, which was one thing that I used to do, Reiki and bioenergy. And it didn't suit me at all when I wasn't well. I was made stop. I was made reflect. And I did an awful lot of therapies that were healing for me. And I think that that helped me. Would you believe I haven't got sick once since? Wow. I'm touching wood. I'm rubbing wood here now while we're doing the podcast. But I haven't got sick once. And I really do believe the power of my mind and that positivity has kept me going completely. And I actually think as well, what helped me heal were all of my followers on Instagram. Genuinely, I know, as crazy as that sounds, I genuinely believe each and every one of them. And there has been times where I have gone on to my stories and I have tried to thank people and I've just literally nearly started bawling, crying. And I don't cry. I actually find it very hard to cry. And when I do, I'm always afraid I'm not going to stop because of the severity of crying that I did when my marriage broke down. I just kind of like find now that it's hard to kind of get that emotion out, but it's the one time I just feel like I need to show so much gratitude to people. I just feel that maybe my Be Accountable campaign is actually some part of that. Mm-hmm. I get a massive amount of like satisfaction when I have someone message me and tell me how much they've helped me, and I in turn tell them, no, actually you've helped me so much.
Wow. And what other changes, lifestyle changes, did you make?
I gave up smoking.
OK. Okay. Did you find that tough?
No. I don't know how I gave up, but I instantly gave up and I knew I would never smoke again. And that comes from a person that was smoking since they were 16.
And was that when you were diagnosed with the pneumonia?
Yes.
Yeah.
I was so sick it didn't matter, but it was like there was a whole week where my life dramatically changed, like dramatically changed. And I knew that the person that I was, there would always still be parts of that because that's what drove me to where I was, but that I was going to be very different. And I was very comfortable making that change as well. It's something that I was always a little bit scared of, that kind of change. It's a real personal thing to change that much. And you also start worrying about what other people think. And I stopped worrying about, well, I always didn't worry, but I really stopped worrying then. That was like, it was after getting a license to just go and be who I wanted to be. And if people found that very hard to accept, people found that really difficult.
And Oprah says that she says, you have a right to change your mind. And when I heard that, I actually stopped in my tracks. Because
say that again. That is actually like the fact that that's amazing.
Yeah, you have a right to change your mind. And my whole life, I never exercised because I just put myself into this box of like, I'm just not.
Coffee.
Yeah, I just don't do that. That's just not for me.
Yeah.
And when my oncologist told me, Georgie, you have to exercise, I thought, wow, why have I not exercised? Okay, it's because I prioritised housework over my health, because I was too embarrassed to start.
Or too embarrassed to stop. As well.
Yeah.
Did you feel that way? Because I do find that, oh, you're going to start doing it and then I'm going to be like a failure and
yes,
I'm going to stop.
That's such a good point. And I thought people would kind of laugh at me if I was running down the road. And that is just so stupid. Like we hear...
That's you judging you.
Exactly. And Darren Garrahy's dad says it, Eugene, all the time. No one gives a shit about you.
They don't.
No
I
one
have
cares
that mug.
If you're running down.
I have that mug. It's so true. No one gives a shit about you.
So... That's interesting that you say that about changing, because I suppose people would say, oh my God, there's Sabrina hugging a tree.
Mm.
Like she's so different now, like she's changed so much and you're afraid of that change. But you obviously felt like this was your time, you wanted to be your true self.
Mm-hmm.
So you quit smoking.
Quit smoking. The exercise started off like literally walking in the woods and stuff like that because I needed fresh air and it cleared my head a bit. And as much as I used to, my mother used to say, let's go walking. I'd be like, no, you're all right. And literally, but I needed to do it by myself.
Okay.
I needed to actually get out and make that decision. I'm going for a walk today. And that was the only way that it was going to work, by doing that. There was like, I made very small changes.
Mm. And when you walk, do you listen to anything or... Are you just thinking?
No, I'm a big believer in music helping me and things like that. But you know, the weird thing is, and I only had this conversation with someone recently, is that I have different playlists that reflect different times of my life. And there's some music I can't listen to anymore because they just remind me of like past times and past people. And it actually hurts me to listen to them. And that was a weird transition, but it was great because I made new playlists. I listen to music because it fills a void, kind of, I suppose, and it can make you happy. I listen to a lot of Michael Seeley, hypnotherapy at nighttime. I found that I needed to do that. As far as kind of therapies and stuff, I didn't do any this time. And I found I didn't need to. And that is not right for everyone. But I didn't need to because I felt that I was grieving so hard for my future that was gone, that I actually needed to get down on the ground and wail and needed to get it out of me that way. And that worked very good for me.
Wow. And it's interesting what you say about music there, because when I was sick, I couldn't listen to music for a year. Because
really?
The same way, it reminded me of my life before I got sick. And it would remind me of gigs me and Jamie had gone to, or...
That's exactly it. A
moment with my baby when my life was perfect. And myself and Jamie would be like, say we were driving down the country or something during treatment, and I'd say to Jamie, like, for God's sake, how many times do I need to say to you to turn off the radio? And he'd be like, geez, like, I thought you'd be fine by now. You know, just innocent things that he'd say. And I'd be like, that's an Ed Sheeran song. We went to the Olympia on Arthur's Day. That was one of the best nights And I'm like, I'm in a hole here. Like,
you still can't listen to it though, can you? Is it uncomfortable?
No, I'm back now. I'm back. So say, for example, Kings of Leon are playing the RDS July. Mm-hmm. They're myself and Jamie's band. I'm not as scared as I was back then. I'm not as anxious as I was back then. And for the Kings of Leon concert, say, for example, I'm really looking forward to it. And I don't even think any songs will make me cry at that. And if they do, they do. And I'll be in the moment and that'll be fine. But yeah, like you say, it could be like relief, you know. Yeah. But it's funny, when I said that out loud, I couldn't tell anyone that music thing except for Jamie. And I told one of my friends, Drew, in America, and he did a double take when I said it. He said, "What? You haven't listened to music for a year? Oh my God, are you serious? That's crazy." Not crazy, but you know, he just was like, "That's so sad."
Well, it's crazy because you love music so much. That's the difference, like, it seems.
And then I said it on Instagram, and the amount of messages I got back from people saying, "I can't listen to music at the moment either."
You've no idea what you have done for people there when you say that. And I truly believe that's one thing I love of the people that I follow, that they can be honest that way and say things that you might think are crazy, but the amount of people you help when you admit these things. And it's really, really important for other people. I actually think that there's a responsibility that some of us have to actually be that person for other people. I really do think that.
Like you saying, you know, you needed to just get down on your floor and cry.
Yeah.
I mean, how many people are going through that? Was it hard for your son to see you sad?
He never saw me sad.
Okay.
Never. That was the one thing I was really like. He saw me unwell when I was sick, but he never saw me to that point. He was always that priority that I would never let him see that. I don't know, is that such a good thing now, looking back? He would have seen me with red eyes maybe kind of like once or twice, but he seems to be a very grounded young man, very charming, grounded young man, and he seems to have coped well with everything. I feel that if he was younger, it would have been my responsibility to let him see how sad I was and to talk about it. But he was an adult when all of this happened as well.
And you're his hero, I'm sure.
I am not. I can tell you that. No, we don't. In fact, he is like, he's not into social media. So there is an element of, I had to go give a talk, an enterprise, for I do a lot of stuff with the enterprise board. And I had to give a talk in his school. And in hindsight, I should never have done
it. Oh my God, where was he there?
When he was actually telling the story about me falling pregnant.
Oh my God. And was he sitting there?
And he's in there in the audience.
Under the chair.
And you know what? I'm friends with all, like, well, I'm not friends with them, but I know all of his friends so well because he's known them since he was a Montessori. Mm. And now they're all 17 and 18.
Oh my God.
He does not
crazy?
Like that I have the lols with them.
So what was that night like then that you opened the door to your two best friends? Did you feel like absolutely so much love in your heart for them?
No, it was definitely a hindsight thing that I saw what they did. Mm-hmm. I was embarrassed a little bit because with the whole toxic reaction, I was actually having tremors. Okay. A lot of tremors, particularly on my left-hand side. And I was a little bit embarrassed because I was the girl who was always in control. And I suppose that's very emotional now, even talking about that. That was just something that I suppose I would never have left other people to see, that weak, I would have called it a weakness in me. People think that you're really, really open because you're on social media, but people have no idea what goes on behind closed doors. And even the people I do know, there would be like on one hand that would have known exactly physically what I was going through as well. So it was, to me, it was fantastic they were there. But like, if you even ask any of my friends, a lot of them have never seen the inside of my house.
Really?
Yeah, I don't. I live far away from here. As in, like, I live about an hour away from my workplace and all of my friends are here in Cork. But, like, not a lot of them will come to my home. I don't know why. I think, look, there was other things going on as well and stuff like that. But to have people right there, I was giving them a house tour, even though I've known them for 15 years. And I'd have these shakes in my left hand, like,
my God.
But, look, in hindsight, when they went away, I think my parents, my mum and dad were there and they were saying, how good are they? And that it really hit me then.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah.
I'll get back to my conversation with Sabrina in just a minute. But first, I want to give you an update on my Fitbit. By being on Fitbit, it allows you to get to know yourself better, to understand your health with data and insights that are unique to you. As I always say, knowledge is power, and Fitbit provides data about your health and well-being to help empower and support you in leading a balanced and healthy lifestyle. I love being able to track my sleep, keep an eye on my resting heart rate over time, as well as capture key stats from my workouts. I'm so happy to have Fitbit on board as it helps keep me focused and on track with my goals and training. Now, back to Sabrina.
And tell us about how differently you run your businesses now, because like three businesses, you were obviously working yourself to the bone before. Mm-hmm. And now, are you back to that kind of hectic life?
I am actually a little bit too much even. Mm-hmm. Like literally.
But you're aware of it.
Do you know what? Last week now, I was in Holland for a few days and I literally came back, landed, and I wasn't supposed to be in the salon because I took myself out, but I was in the salon every day. I was in there every day and working every day. I'm a workaholic by nature. Mm. There is nothing I can do about that. I just have to be really, really mindful. The only time I don't get guilty is when I'm physically in hospital or sick. Really ill, that is, like I've been taken out, that I can't do it, but I love being busy. I don't feel that I run my business any different to what I did before. I think that I am so lucky that I have great people to delegate with. I have managers and I have like literally my team are phenomenal. You've no idea the people that I have working for me. And I have been very lucky in the past, actually, down through the years, that everyone, team members, past and present, that they've always been fantastic. And I'm going to be a little bit big-headed here now when I talk about this, but I think that that's because I'm a really good leader. Okay. I'm a great listener and I care for each and every individual and I'm a very kind boss. In that way, I'm not mean and I look after everyone and I think that does make a massive difference. Mm. How you speak to people.
Absolutely.
As well. I could not speak to a person, an employee, in any way, other way than how I would want to be spoken to. And they have that respect as well. They're a fantastic bunch.
And I think if your bosses care about you, you are going to perform better in your job. Tell us about your businesses.
So I have Copper Hair Salon. Copper Hair Salon is my salon.
Why is it called Copper?
I actually inherited that.
Did you?
I was working there and I like literally for 2 years and then I bought it.
No way.
Yeah, the girl that owned it, Barbara, she's fabulous. She moved up the country. So I took over and I started out with just three of us. And there's 20 odd there. There's
wow.
20 odd there now. Yeah. So we specialise in colour. I just made a name for myself as being that girl that changed people's hair. I suppose when all of social media started, someone would come in with really manky orange hair and I'd make them beautiful blonde. And that's what I became known for. And that like has taken me to all parts of the world working. I'm very, very lucky. I now work with different companies where I test products and kind of before they ever see a shelf or any colouring products, I'm very, very lucky what I get to do. I'm like a little hair scientist now. I go to laboratories and
wow.
stuff like that. And I get to do that with some people who I'm very close with. That's one side of my job. Then I have New Hair Revolution, which is I started this online store where I give hair advice and I have all my salon professional products that I love and swear by, from water filters right up to styling products to shampoos, conditioners. And that's online. And then with my business partner, Denise, we have Business of Hair, which is a professional service where we do consultation and we teach hair colouring techniques and we bring that all over the world. We're very, very lucky that we get to travel and work and teach hairdressers and make them as fabulous as us.
Wow. And what is your favourite job to do?
Do you know what? Every single one of them are a job. But it's when you have a person, whether it's someone sitting in front of you that you've just solved their hair problem and given them their dream hair, or if it's someone that has messaged me online to thank me so much because they had such a flaky scalp after chemotherapy and it's changed their life by you advising mm-hmm. them about shampoo, or whether it's a hairdresser crying in front of you because now they have a new lease of life because they feel confidence in being able to work. I don't believe that hairdressing as such it was my favourite thing. I think no matter what, I would have always been in some industry, or I would have been doing some kind of work where I would have been making people feel good about themselves. And that's why sometimes I don't even feel that what I'm doing now is still a journey. Sometimes I feel like that, yeah, I'm brilliant at hair. I know that because I've worked so hard at it. But there's something in my belly telling me even be accountable is so much more than let's say than what I'm doing now, that it's going to go further and I'm going to help more people. That's basically helping people is the satisfaction of my life.
And have you ever had to shave somebody's head who's about to lose their hair to chemotherapy?
Yeah, I've had my friend Josie that I passed away to that 6 times. She had cancer for 8 years. I've had to do countless clients. I've also had the pleasure of shaping and colouring countless clients' hair when their hair grows back. So lucky to be able to do that. And do many people. There was actually only 2 weeks ago a girl that came in, the French girl, that shaved her head because her friend at home had cancer and she didn't tell her, and she literally put her phone up in front of her and FaceTimed her and me shave her head,
amazing.
Which was so amazing, so touching. So I've loads of times I've done it, yeah. Because and loads of times I've sat with families, and loads of times I've fixed people's hair when they're in a coffin, and that's sad too, and that's part of life. But it's been an absolute honour to be part of people's lives that way.
Yeah, because my hairdresser, Danielle Garner, when she...
Oh, I know her.
Yes, she shaved my head. And my heart...
Who took it better?
I know. She arrived to my house with tears in her eyes. And she brought this box for me, and she called it a box of sunshine, and everything in it was yellow. And it was like Manuka honey and colouring books.
That's
and all
amazing.
Of these things for me to do during treatment. But I suppose when you hear the razor, it's when you hear the sound of the razor coming on and you know it's actually happening. I often wondered what she was going through having to do that to me. But, you know, it was actually a really lovely night. It was very special.
It's a lot easier than what people think. The one thing I have noticed, which is better, is to almost treat it a little bit clinical, because I have been in situations where other family members have been there and they're more upset because they have to feel that they have to make the person who's getting their head shaved feel better.
Yeah.
And I've noticed that even with Josie, the amount of times that I have to shave her head, it was nearly easier sometimes for me to just come in, plug in her to come to the salon actually, because it was just another service we were doing.
Yeah,
plug it in, shave her head, that was it, grand. And we were doing it at home. I think one time one of her youngest sons climbed up on her lap and put his hand around her face, said, "Mommy, you're still beautiful."
Wow.
And I think moments like that, even though how gorgeous it is, broke everyone's heart.
Yeah.
Do you know?
So you need to be the strong one.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Amazing. So your parents are obviously a huge part of your life. You call your mum Mary, not Mum?
No, I do call her Mary because she's just like she's a total friend. We kill each other. Mm-hmm. But like, we're so similar. That's why we're both really, really stubborn. She's a phenomenal woman. Like, unbelievable. And she's my bubble burster, but in a good way. Like, she does it out of a place of so much love that she worries about me and she wants me to do well. And she's kind of one of these women that's so proud of me, but will never tell me to my face. She keeps me in line, she does. What a woman. What a woman. She looked after my son and helped me raise him. And to this day, he's 18. She makes his dinner and she'll collect him today for me. And my dad then is just another level. Like, he comes over every morning and drops Aaron to school and picks him up. And when I find him down below my living room cleaning out my fire and making a new fire.
Wow.
Like, they'll come over and light it for me as well if I'm not home early.
And then do you, in moments like that, do you stop now and kind of appreciate... Like when with my family now, say, for example, like at Christmas, I'm like, God, we're all here. We're all so lucky that we're all here.
Oh, we hug more. Like my dad was your typical Irish dad that I wouldn't get on a plane or get on a flight. He drops me almost to the airport and things like that. And even now we went out for lunch. I hadn't seen my parents in a week or two. We went out for lunch on the Sunday. And when dad was going away, it was just we were going to hug. And we didn't really do that beforehand, before he got sick and I got sick. My mum actually got sick as well a couple of months before that. And there is absolutely and definitely a new mind frame when it comes to how much we appreciate each other through all of it. Like, definitely. I look at them and it has changed a little bit. Now I know that I'm equal to them. I suppose they babied me a lot for years. And then when kind of different things happened in their lives, they treat me as an equal. And that was hard. because I was leaving my childhood. Mm-hmm. Do you know, I was becoming the adult. But there's so much gratitude for them as human beings. They're just phenomenal. Like, my dad gave me my work ethic. And I wouldn't be who I am today without him. Like, he always worked for someone else, but he still worked as if he owned the business himself. That was his love for what he did and his loyalty to people. And I have that as well. That's from
them.
That's
so admirable.
Oh, 100%. Absolutely.
Tell us about your followers. Are they mostly from Cork? Are they strong Cork women?
Dublin and Cork. And I suppose that's supposed to evens out a little bit everywhere. Mostly women between 25 to 45. Until I signed to an agency recently, I didn't know my stats. Now I know. Now I really know.
So you know who you're talking to now.
Oh, I know who I'm talking to all the time. The same kind of names pop up as well. They're amazing people. And even, do you know the one thing I even said the other night? Someone was asking me about how do you deal with criticism and everything. Since I started being very, very open about online trolling, online bullying, and just people having a sense of entitlement to type and write whatever they want, I always stayed quiet about it because I was like, shut my mouth catches no flies. Mm-hmm. And as well as that, having spoken with some of the Blick girls who had a bigger following, they always kind of were very much so, just ignore it, it'll go away. And I do agree with that to a certain extent. But since I came out, and I kind of named one of the pages, since I came out, named them and just said, this is not acceptable for you to bring kids into it or to talk about this. I mean, this is what happens. People commit suicide. And once I was a little bit more vocal about it, I haven't had one negative comment. I haven't had one negative message. There would be about 3 or 4 a day.
Really?
But they've all backed off. So from that point of view, it seems to have had such a positive effect that way. The followers that I have are phenomenal people. They are unbelievable. And what I wish sometimes is that I know that some of these people that message me and tell me these really beautiful things, I would hope that they pass that on to their children, that they pass that on like physically with the people that are in their lives. And I just would love people to make sure that when they say, you've really helped me and I love how positive you are, I'd love to ask people, when was the last time that you actually turned around to a person in your life and said, I really like you, and the reason why I like you is because you're such a positive person, and I feel really good when I see you every day. You make me smile. Because it's the same way that I'm telling people, be accountable, and that you talk to someone, you don't say something if it's going to upset them. Imagine if we could do the opposite and actually tell people to their faces something that would, for instance, that friend on the bus with the drunken chat that we had saying, I love you because you're a problem solver. I'll never forget that. Imagine if we could have that gift, that we could actually say that and tell somebody that. It would be absolutely amazing. I actually don't know when I've last done that. I'm going to do that tomorrow.
I love it. Tell us about the people that you follow that lift you up every day.
Oh, there are some people that inspire. You're one of them.
Oh, thank you.
You are one of them. There's a strength in you that's just absolutely outstanding. And you can see that you're a good, kind person. Do you know sometimes when you look at a person and they make you smile when they smile on the other side? You're one of those I put into that category.
Oh my God,
100%.
Thanks. I didn't ask you that question so you'd say me.
But I'm going to. No, you're up there. But also, who is there? Denise Kenny.
She's a very special person.
Very, like, and I know this is, I suppose, in an unfortunate way, everybody has a backstory about, about why they're like that. There's always a little bit of sorrow attached to that. But I do love influencers. I'll be killed for saying that. Some people don't like that word, or content creators is what I should say. I do love finding out stuff about fashion and being influenced that way, and makeup and the likes of that. But I also really just love people who are kind and talk about day-to-day things. I suppose I can't even think of off the top of my head now who I watch. Denise Kenny, Kyla is another girl that I love following, yourself. Then there's lots of, like, Dan Sweeney, Trisha's Transformations.
Trisha's brilliant.
Trisha's brilliant. They're just people who have made changes, positive changes in their lives. And I suppose my argument is always is that I think we should all be accountable, comment on their photos, like them, watch their stories, so that in your top part of your feed, everything positive is coming up, and it helps other people see these people for what they are and for the goodness that they offer to everyone. I think that's really, really important. Also, a thing that we don't actually think of showing our kids, and that we don't follow ourselves, things like Upworthy, TED Talks. I'm a huge believer in TED Talks. It's actually, I will do a TED Talk one day. You should
too. Putting it out there.
TED Talks, just like things that we really need to absorb. Mm. Really positive things. It's not just people, but it's actually things in life.
I love that, because you could spend 20 minutes sitting on your couch, you know, scrolling through Twitter, reading stuff about coronavirus, which is, I know it's important to inform ourselves, mm-hmm. but like it's a lot. It's a lot to take in at the end of a busy day. But watching a TED Talk could literally give you an aha moment, mm-hmm. that makes you live your life differently, which I think is just amazing.
That's absolutely amazing. And if you have like one a week, I make Aaron watch one a week.
Do you?
I do. And we haven't been good lately, but he's 18, you know. We'll get back into it. Look, one of them, a huge person that I loved watching, is Simon Sinek. And I know it's from a business perspective, but he has taught me how to be a good leader. And things like that are important. In the same way that I could watch, there's a young guy called Seth, and who has a disease where it affects him physically. And there's some, I've shared it on my page countless times. I'll do it again soon as well, and I put in my highlights. But different people sharing their stories like that, and like, you're so right, Georgie. Like, they can change your life. It'll stay with you and stick with you. I think it's very important as well, though, to remove things. Like, for instance, when the whole thing with Caroline Flack came up, it came up, somebody posted it, and I went, oh my God, that's surely not true. What was the first thing I did? I came out of Instagram and I went to the Daily Mail app, mm. and I went in and looked at it, and I saw that it was true. And for a split second, I went, oh my God, you're the people that tore her down. And then I had this realization, I'm actually feeding into this. I've just come out of Instagram, and like, I'm total clickbait here. And first thing I did was I actually deleted it.
Please.
Don't do it in public anyway.
Tell us, I'm going to leave it with this question.
Okay.
Oh my God, we have been talking. What are your hopes? What do you hope will happen for you? Or what do you want to continue to do?
I suppose, yeah, do you know what? I'm in such a good place now. There's still some stuff changing in my life, but I can see it just getting better. I wanted to stay like this. I know that sounds really weird, but I started off the new year on such a bang. I started like a bit of hiking, and I started kind of doing some more outdoorsy stuff. I'm going through a massive transition, and I just want to continue on that road in being happy and healthy. That's all. And spending so much time with people. So much time with people. And when the government is formed, I'm going to go down and find a digital safety officer. That's what I want to do. That's what I want to do. There you go.
Amazing, because I did an interview recently for The Indo, and Orla, the girl who wrote the piece, asked me, what did she say? She said, what do you hope for yourself? And I said, well, or no, if you had a superpower, uh-huh. what would it be? And I said, it used to be my superpower. I used to want to be able to look into the future, because I was so scared of the future. But now if I had a superpower, I'd want to freeze time, because I just enjoy every day and I live my yes. life the way I want to.
Could we freeze Sundays though? Just free Sundays.
Thank you so much for today.
You're so welcome.
I could be sitting here in Cork talking to you all night, but I have to go home to
no.
my baby.
See, cheese boards and wine. Stay down
next time. Next time I'm staying. Thank you so much.
No problem.
Thanks for listening to the Good Glow podcast, with thanks to Fitbit. If you're enjoying this podcast, please hit the subscribe button and leave a review. For more on my story, you can follow me on Instagram at georgie.crawford.